Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Do you remember the story about the farmer and the devil? There was once a farmer who had a run of bad luck. He wasn't a bad man, but his crops had failed, his cow had died, and he was behind on his mortgage payment. He was walking across his fields one day when he tripped on a rock and twisted his ankle, and that was the last straw. The farmer cursed and said, "For one red cent, I'd sell my soul to the devil if it would change my luck." The very next day, a stranger appeared at the farmer's door and asked for a private meeting. And the farmer knew who he was. The stranger laid out a contract where the farmer could have three wishes, one wish every 10 years. But at the end of 40 years, the farmer's soul would belong to him. The farmer, tired, angry, lonely, hungry, he agreed. "There's just one catch," said the stranger. "Whatever you get, your neighbor will get twice as much. That's the deal. Take it or leave it." And the farmer agreed. And he made his first wish. He wanted to be rich beyond his wildest dreams. And suddenly he felt a sharp pain in his right index finger, and he looked down to see a clean white scar, the sign of a contract. And when he looked up, the stranger was gone. But less than a week later, oil was found on his property, and money came pouring in. And he bought new farm equipment, and he built a beautiful new home for his wife, and a big barn for himself, and he filled it with cows and horses and chickens, and he started to enjoy himself. But his neighbor found twice as much oil on his property, and bought twice as much farm equipment, and built a new home that was twice as big as the farmer's for his wife, and built a barn twice as big for all of his cows and horses and chickens. And the farmer found himself feeling a little jealous. 10 more years flew by, and suddenly the stranger was back at the farmer's door. "What do you want next?" said the stranger. And the farmer said he wanted to have 2 smart, healthy children, a beautiful daughter and a handsome son. And that very year, the farmer's wife gave birth to twins, a daughter and a son. And they were smart and healthy and handsome. But the farmer's neighbor had a wife who gave birth to twin daughters and twin sons, 4 children in all, 4, all smart and healthy and handsome. And the farmer did not like that. So 10 more years flew by, and the stranger was back at the farmer's door. "What's your last wish?" said the stranger. "Hurry up, I haven't got all day." "Well," said the farmer, "I've given it a lot of thought. You said that whatever I ask for, no matter what I ask for, my neighbor will get twice as much. Is that right?" "Yes," said the stranger, "those are the rules." "Well," said the farmer, "I've decided I want to be blind in one of my eyes." And that is human nature, whether we like it or not. Today's epistle says, "If you think you are standing, be careful that you do not fall." And we know exactly what St. Paul means. Sometimes when we think we are standing, we are already on the way down. The farmer sells his soul in order to be the most powerful person in his universe. But as the devil correctly anticipates, good fortune doesn't feel like good fortune to the farmer when his neighbor has twice as much. So the farmer gets damned twice in this story, once by his own despair and once by his own greed and jealousy. The farmer's predicament is explained by that old joke about how you know when you're rich. How do you know when you're rich? When you make more money than your brother-in-law. That's how you know you're rich. No matter how much the farmer has, it isn't enough for him. And we don't have to look too far to find parallels in today's news. That college scandal that broke 10 days ago revealed parents who were willing to spend up to $500,000 in bribes to get their kids into top schools. And those parents share their core spiritual problem with the farmer. Those parents couldn't get enough for themselves, and they couldn't get enough for their children. And they seemed not to think twice about knocking out another student in order to put their child into a prestigious top school. And they also seemed never to anticipate that they would get caught, or that their children and their employers would find out what they'd done. But they did. And now the story is sadder and more sordid than ever, with jail time and broken relationships and back taxes and ruined careers. Some people would say the devil is getting his due. If you think you're standing, be careful that you do not fall, says St. Paul. It can be so tempting to justify our own ugly behavior with excuses or explanations. But in our heart of hearts, most of us know when we've done something ugly or sinful. We blunt our own lives, or we allow what's weakest in us to overwhelm what's best in us. In another letter, Paul writes, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, that I keep on doing." In our gospel, Jesus is talking to us about sin and evil, about barrenness and desperation, when he tells us the parable of the fig tree. This is the story that he tells. The owner of a vineyard planted a fig tree and comes looking for fruit, but finds none. So the owner tells the gardener that he's been looking for fruit for 3 years, but the tree has never produced any fruit. He says he's tired of wasting good resources on it. Cut it down. Tells the gardener, why should this fig tree suck the nutrients out of the soil and give no fruit? The owner's logic is impeccable. No fruit? No point in keeping it. Broken, barren trees get cut down and burned. But the gardener and Jesus are more interested in love than in logic or efficiency. And the gardener tells the owner that he wants one more year with the tree. One more year to nourish it and coax it to bear fruit. If the tree bears fruit the next year, well and good. But if not, then it can be cut down. So the axe is ready to take the tree the next year. But there's still time for fruit. Still time for goodness to take hold. Still time for the tree to be what the tree was meant to be. In Jesus' parable, actions do have consequences. The tree won't be spared indefinitely, but the tree has a chance for one more try. Brokenness and failure do not have the last word. The last word is still love. So Lent is our time to confront the barrenness or brokenness in ourselves and to make room for new life to arrive, even if new life has been absent for a very long time. Lent is the sober season when we're asked to make room for God's help in us to transform barren spots into fertile, life-giving places one day at a time, one scoop of manure at a time. Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversaries which may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.